This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org. Today on CityCast Denver. The NCAA is just getting started, but we're already down to the final four in the March Madness bracket that matters to local foodies. Every year, Denver Post readers pick the best pizza, tacos, or burgers, voting by the tens of thousands. And this year, a whole new battle is on. Ramen. Jonathan Shikes is the bracket master with the Denver Post, and he's on today with our expert on all things Japanese food in Denver, Gil Asakawa. Today is Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Jonathan Shikes and Gil Asakawa, welcome back to CityCast Denver.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Shikes, the Denver Post has done these food March Madness brackets every year for the last few. You've done pizza, you've done burgers. Why ramen?
This time around, I wanted to do something a little different, and I wanted to get away from some of the, you know, some of the basics where there are hundreds and hundreds of places, and choose a cuisine where there are fewer. And ramen seems to be, in just in the last 10 years in Denver, has exploded, and it seemed like a good time to really go after it.
Yeah, it's funny because you say something that has fewer, so I'm thinking like burgers, there's dozens of places. Pizza, same thing. Ramen, not so much, but you came up with 32 places. Gil, is Denver overdue for attention to our ramen scene? Are we right on track? What do you think about that?
I think the attention to ramen right now, ramen's a thing.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be the next new fad. I've been saying for like 10 years that udon's going to be the next Japanese noodle that's going to become huge. And I also see on the side, onigiri, rice balls.
Yeah.
Rice balls are really big right now, which is great. Got totally like working class, you know, picnic food.
Yes.
for Japanese. But ramen has been overdue because, you know, like 20 years ago, there are really only, there were more than one, but 30 years ago, there's only one. Oshima Ramen was like the first, and it's a Japanese chain that opened up on Hamden.
Oh.
And it was actually quite good. The owner was from Japan. He imported the flour from Japan and made the noodles every day, and the soup was good. But after like 3 years, he sold the place to his ramen chef, who I don't think he cleaned the place ever after that. I mean, you know, the bottles of soy sauce and stuff, and the, you know, chili and the garlic on the counter.
Just a layer of grease.
Yeah, grease and lint.
But now here we are, 2024.
There are
32 options in just this bracket. Right, right.
There's more than that. These were the ones that were chosen. And when you have that much of an ethnic style of cuisine, ethnic cuisine, they're not all going to be very good. It's tough being somebody of a specific ethnicity trying to judge food from my culture.
Sure.
Because I want it to be traditional. I want it to be respectful of my culture's traditions. I want it to...
you have a lot of expectations.
Yeah, it tastes like I grew up eating. And I feel like ramen, especially, is a dish that has been appropriated by people just to make a buck.
Mm.
And they're not necessarily that respectful of the culture or the history. And, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of ramen being made and served that isn't very good. And that a lot of the people who love certain restaurants, they don't know.
Oh, I can't wait to find out. If my favorite is something that you...
I actually won't name the ones that I really hate. Here's one in Little Tokyo in L.A. It's in a little Tokyo.
Okay, so
it's
not in Denver.
And
that's fair.
It's owned by Japanese. So I'm not saying that it has to be owned by Japanese or run by Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
Sushi Sasa is one of my favorite Japanese restaurants.
And Wayne
here.
Is not.
Yeah, definitely not Japanese.
Japanese.
But when he was in high school, he started working for Sushi Den.
I was going to say very studied in the food and the culture.
He's been
I know
immersed
Wayne.
Immersed in it.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are people making ramen for a buck. One is an example that I was going to cite earlier, which is in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles, the heart of the Japanese community. There's a restaurant called Daikokuya, which is owned by Japanese, but I don't think it's very good. And yet there are always people waiting in line. And they're willing to wait for an hour to eat ramen at Daikokuya. And I walk by them and say, you know, this place isn't very good. You know, there's a place down the street that's better. Or you can go around the corner and it's better. And no, these people, it's hipsters have decided that certain places are good. And hipsters don't know. And these people don't know. And I know from experience, from walking up and down and even asking people, that there are not a lot of Japanese in line.
Well, this is what I want to talk about real quick. Because Jonathan, 32 places. How did you guys come to this list? Because I bet some of it is like more authentic, as Gil's saying, but some of it is more trendy. Or like, how did you come up with this list?
So I did it a couple different ways. For starters, a lot of people were surprised. They said there's 32 ramen places in Denver. And
yeah.
I said, yeah, there's that, and there's way more than that. And you know, some of the restaurants that were on the list do a variety of things. They do sushi and ramen. They do ramen and other kinds of Japanese food. And some of them are mainly just ramen. So there was a little bit of that because, you know, there's restaurants, if we did a best pizza list, we wouldn't include probably places that also did pizza. You know, we would
do
focus
sandwiches
on
or the, like right. somewhere that's really focused on, like this, in this case, focused on this particular dish.
Right.
Perfecting ramen.
So I was trying to, you know, I was trying to go for the ones that either people loved or that I had heard of or that I had seen or that I had read about. And we did a combination of trying to find, trying to listen to our readers. We asked them for their suggestions. That's one of the big parts of these brackets is reader engagement. So that was, you know, we wanted them to be involved. We wanted the readers to be involved with picking them. And the others were ones that have been, that were recommended. I did my own research. I've eaten at not enough ramen places around town, but 10 to 12 of the ramen spots around town over the years. And so that's how we put together the list. One of the best parts about this is that people were really mad at some of the places I left off, which means I chose well.
I was going to say,
when
it means
it
you're doing something
subject.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It means that ramen was a subject that was ripe for
for a competition.
Yeah.
Gil, you're just like losing your mind over here when when Shikes is talking about reader engagement. And it, I think this is a thing. All of us have worked in journalism for a long time, especially in the critical role. We study things and we know things and we want to inform our readers, but also our readers do inform us of what is popular in the place where we live and what we're working on. What is your sort of articulate this feeling you're having about how we pick these kinds of things?
I don't mean to denigrate readers. And as you said, we're in the business of being opinionated.
Right.
We feel like we know our stuff.
Right. It's our jobs, right?
It's our jobs to be opinionated. I there are bands in Denver that broke up after I wrote mean things about them.
Oh.
And I feel kind of bad about that. But at the time, I didn't think they should be playing in the clubs. Anyway, so I was opinionated.
Yeah.
And for food, I feel like I'm opinionated. And I know that some of my opinions, the reasons for my opinions, can be questionable. I have written blog posts asking if I'm racist for going into Japanese restaurants and making judgments about who's behind the counter, who's making the food, who owns the place. And I still kind of think that way. There are some Japanese restaurants that have gotten a lot of press since they've opened here, like in Highlands, and they're not owned by Japanese people. One is owned by a guy who owns an Italian restaurant in Connecticut.
It's a new concept, right?
Yeah.
It's next concept.
Right. It's a concept. It's,
sure.
it's a business decision.
Yeah.
And it's not a cultural decision. Readers don't always know what's good.
And they might say, us nerds writing these lists don't know what's good either, you know?
And I have had people accuse me of saying, what the hell do you know?
This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered. Pine Melon is a next-generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. Get high-quality meats, eggs, and dairy from small local farms, fresh baked breads from local bakeries, and more, as well as all of your favorite pantry staples. Best part is, Pine Melon offers same-day delivery to Denver and soon Boulder within a two-hour window, no subscription necessary. Save time in your busy schedule and get fresh and healthy groceries delivered right to your door. Join the movement and support local today. Use promo code CITYCASTDENVER for $75 off your first delivery at pinemelon.com. That's pinemelon.com. Shikes, I have to ask you, you left something off the list.
Yeah, I did.
That kind of blew our minds.
Right.
This Michelin guide recognized, it got a Bib Gourmand ranking, Glow Noodle House.
Yeah.
How is it not on this list?
So that was an error on my part.
See, I'm just trying to prove that Gil, our system is not perfect.
They were on the list. And, you know, I compiled the documents and not only were they on the list from... Not only did I put them on the list, but they were recommended by a lot of readers.
I bet.
And so they were there. And when the final list came out, they weren't. And so I must have deleted them somewhere in the process. So
blame it on the illustrator who made the chart.
Right, yeah. No, it's definitely not her fault. It was definitely my fault.
So I wasn't trying to make an example of you, Shikes. I'm just saying, Gil.
Good point. Point well taken.
You know what I mean?
Point well taken.
We can think people are not... I don't have the taste, the palates that we have, but in reality, we're all just people making these decisions.
Even among the list of the restaurants that you had in the original brackets, there were ones that I believe are the best. I think they're real. I think they're traditional. I think they pay attention to what they do. And they didn't make it past the first round.
What? Yeah. What are so? Do you have a place you're thinking of right now that was on that?
I have two
listed that didn't make it.
One is Ramen Star.
Yes.
Ramen Star. He makes his noodles every morning. The noodles themselves are worth going to eat there. And he's from Kochi, in Japan, on the island of Shikoku, and he pays a lot of attention to the traditions. The food culture and the food traditions. It's where, yuzu is really big down there. He recently has started making this lobster ramen, which is shockingly good, even though it's expensive, and I'll probably never order it again. But
I was like, I think I have to order this
now. Yeah, it's really good. And he only focuses on ramen. And one thing about, restaurants in Japan, like sushi restaurants and ramen restaurants especially, or other things like oden, Japanese cuisine, there are restaurants that only serve that.
Mm-hmm.
So one that does serve ramen and sushi is Tokyo. That's one of my other favorites. Their sushi is really good. Miki-san's sushi is good. And his ramen, I mean, he's really picky. He switched his ramen noodle vendor from Sun Noodles, which is really famous, to one he said, I think, in Oregon or someplace because he likes it better. He's really picky about how toothy it is, you know, and the texture. And anybody that is that picky about the ingredients, to me, I know that they make good ramen. And all his soups are really good. Even one that I thought would be horrible because it has that kind of that kiss of fusionism, you know. It's the Cremoso Diablo. It's cheese.
Interesting.
It's a cheese ramen, and damn, it was good. I've had it once because I always go in there and have tonkotsu ramen or maybe miso ramen, one of the standard ones. And I said, you know what? He thinks this Cremoso Diablo is good. I should try it. And it was incredibly good. But he also makes his own gyoza, and they're big. And I really respect things like that. He makes them, hand makes them, and makes them big because he knows that 90% of Japanese restaurants who serve gyoza, they're frozen. They're from a supplier. They're from Costco.
Sure.
So I really respect the people who put that little extra attention to their food.
Jonathan, what did you Were you learning anything as this bracket has gone on? Because I honestly was surprised in particular by those as well.
You know, the things that I've seen in the past years are that some of the best places rise up. They rarely win.
Maybe they're just like too, they're not big enough for enough pallets or I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I was surprised by some of the ones that got knocked out early. I was surprised that Tokyo got knocked out early. I was surprised that Katsu Ramen and Aurora got knocked out because that's a very popular one. Mm. I was surprised that Ototo got knocked out because it's part of the Sushi Den
family. Empire.
Yep. and of course, Uncle, which is the elephant in the room. I was surprised they got knocked out too.
Okay, that was where I disengaged from this bracket. I was like, I love Uncle, and I know I'm not the only one. I'm waiting to hear what you say, Gil. No. Because I will go, and I will get it to go on a Saturday night, and their to go is a mountain of to-goes, and you have to push through 30 people waiting and a full restaurant. So they're doing something right, but they didn't make it that far in the bracket. Gil, what's your take on Uncle?
I've met Tommy Lee. I respect Tommy Lee. And I think I haven't tried his other restaurants. And he's talked to me about how I should go to the other restaurants because it's not just ramen. And I think he knows that I'm not a super fan of his ramen. I think the kimchi ramen or the spicy one is the popular one. And that tells me right there that it's not really that traditional Japanese. And, you know, he's great. He's really smart. Mm-hmm. I respect him as an Asian American who thinks about what he's doing. I respect that he named his other restaurant Hop Alley because he knows the tradition of racism that used that term for the old Chinatown that used to be in Denver, in lower downtown Denver. So he knows all this stuff. I just don't, when I've tried Uncle, I haven't been bowled over.
Okay.
And again, it's like that Daikokuya in Little Tokyo in LA. People wait in line, which is great for him. I just don't know if it's, you know, something that I would do.
Sure. Sure. So. Well, I always think about it as like, this is, you know, I think we've all reviewed bands and listen, you know, like we're music fans too. And I think about, I'm like at the show and it's me and five other people. How can not this place be full? It's my favorite band of all time. And then I bring a friend and they're like, this band sucks. I don't understand why you like it. Yeah. And that's how I kind of think about it is like,
yeah,
tastes are so subjective.
They are subjective.
One place that I like, they're very new. They're sort of near my house. I'm surprised they're still in this, even though they're not well known, as Nico Ramen and Rice. They're on North Colorado Boulevard, and I like them a lot. It's frankly an adorable place when you go in there.
Aesthetically, it's nice.
Yeah, aesthetically, it's beautiful. The ramen was great. Again, it's subjective. It's not the best ramen I've had, but I liked it. I liked that it's this small local spot, but the fact that it is doing so well surprised me because it's so new and because it's so small.
But maybe it's those other components as well that people like. They have a good feeling about going to that place because it feels good. It's pretty. It, you know, the service is good or whatever it is.
They actually just have like 150 little, you know, those welcoming cats.
Yeah, totally.
Maneki Neko.
Yeah.
They have them like all over the place. It's cute. It's run by a young Korean American couple.
Cool.
And they really work hard at it. I've found their ramen to be a little inconsistent off and on. Like a lot of the restaurants in this bracket, I've been to Katsu Ramen several times. First time was great. They had two chefs from Osaka. And then the second time they had no chefs who were from Japan. And the staff wasn't, I mean, they just were not very good. Third time they had, I think, one chef. Somebody just told me the other day that they currently have no Japanese chefs again. So I think it goes up and down. But it is subjective, and I understand that.
Well, before we go, both of you have lived here for most of your lives. 2024 in Denver has a scene for ramen. What do you think this says about Denver in 2024, Shikes?
When I was growing up in Denver, there was only one Japanese restaurant that I think And there probably were a couple, but I think it was called Fujian.
Yeah.
And I think you went in and you sat on the floor and there was an indentation in the ground.
Two booths in the back with the tatamis that you sat on the floor.
And the only thing I remember getting there is tempura. Everything tempura. It was just all fried in tempura. And I'm sure we got something else, but I don't know that they had ramen, and I don't know that they had sushi. They had, you know, probably other styles of Japanese food, but that was it. And I didn't, you know, I am, I consider myself to be a worldly person. I didn't try ramen until I was in my 40s.
You didn't have instant ramen in college?
I had instant
ramen. Yeah, but that's different because I'm with you.
I had instant ramen. I didn't have the beautiful broths and the
diverse array of things you can have in, you know, the accoutrements, the fish cakes,
you
the flavors.
All that stuff too, the instant ramen to make it better.
If I had known that, you know, if I had known anything, I probably would have. But I put ramen between two slices of bread sometimes and ate it as a sandwich.
Damn.
So that's what I knew.
Respect.
Right. So, you know, the fact that there is, you know, that there is a ramen scene in Denver right now, I think is just fantastic that there are people are like, oh, what's your favorite ramen shop? Yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
you
I go
can even
here
have
and I go there.
More than one.
Right. And the fact that people talk about it that way, you know, I think is terrific because it is one part of Japanese culture and one part of Japanese cuisine. And so, you know, for that to be talked about so much, I think is awesome.
Gil, what do you That's think it funny. Says about us?
It says that we're getting more sophisticated, that Denver ain't New York, it's not LA, it's not San Francisco, but we're doing okay. And there's certain things in Denver, I think, that are better than other cities.
For sure.
But in terms of Japanese food and ramen, I think it's a good sign overall. When my family moved to Denver, there were really only three Japanese restaurants that you could eat at. The Mandarin Cafe, Fujian, four, Mori in by Coors Field, what became Coors Field. And that's kind of Akebono, I guess, in Sakura Square. But that was it. And you didn't have a lot of variety. So I think it's good that we're growing and expanding. I am just, I have to like take the role of the nerdy pain in the butt guy that's in the corner of the room yelling at everybody saying, but that one's not real. That's not traditional. You know, you're being fooled. They don't care. And so I it's not always a fun position to be in, but I feel like it's important.
Well, Gil Asakawa and Jonathan Jikes, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We want to hear from you. What's your favorite ramen place in Denver? Did it make the final four in the Denver Post bracket? Did it even make the tournament? The ramen hotline is open. Text or leave us a voicemail at 720-500-5418. Again, that ramen hotline is 720-500-5418. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed this show, why not take a minute to tell Chef Jeff Osaka about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See ya!
I helped launch the Best of Denver, and for like 5 years straight, this is how unsophisticated Denver was at the time. Taco Bell kept winning the Best Mexican Restaurant category.
In Denver?
For the Reader's Choice. That's why we created the Reader's Choice, because like, they're going to pick that. We'll pick the good restaurants.